James chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible tells us, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Oh, friends, in pleasing man, we are scourging Christ. That's what we're doing, friends. And following the crowd and wanting to be popular and wanting, caring so much about what other people think of us more than what God thinks of us. We're scourging Christ. We're doing the exact same thing that Pilate was doing. Our compromises wound him. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities." Friends, if you ever tempted to turn your back on Jesus, first, take a look at his back. Before you turn your back on God, take a look at his back. And when you see those stripes, recognize that it's because of those stripes that we are healed. I remember our brother Will, he came to our meetings. And he came every single night at first. He was loving it, embracing all the truth. He came from another church. He was hearing things he never heard before, but he saw it from the Bible. It was clear. And after a few weeks, we noticed a drop in his attendance. He stopped coming. So we went to go visit him in his home. And this brother, Brother Will, he was so friendly with us. Every night he was joking with us and laughing with us and just appreciating. Just real friendly, open guy. But when we went to his door, there was something different. There was a coldness. He was real short with us. And we said, "Brother Will, we miss you at the meetings. I mean, have you been busy? What's been going on? I mean, we just wanted to stop by and let you know we miss you. We hope you come back." And you know what he told us? "I believe everything you guys are teaching. I believe everything you're teaching is the truth from God's word. But I have a problem. You see, my wife belongs to another church. And if I keep going to those meetings, it's going to anger her. And I want to have peace in my home." Here he made a compromise. He gave us the cold shoulder, but he wasn't giving us the cold shoulder. It was Jesus he was turning his shoulder against. Why? In order to maintain an earthly relationship. He was in bondage to an earthly relationship. Oh, brothers and sisters, if you're ever tempted to conform just a little bit to the pressures of the crowd, remember what it did to Jesus when Pilate did the same thing. Friends, it wounded Christ. It put him in agony and pain. Oh, stop hurting Jesus. Pilate, when he saw Jesus after the scourging was finished, he was almost, I can imagine, Pilate moved to tears by the patient suffering of Jesus. And he thought, surely the Jews' sympathy would be aroused. Surely they'll be content to let Jesus go now. But friends, when Pilate brought Jesus before the people, and as the people saw the compromising weakness of Pilate and how he set aside justice and equity in condemning a man that he himself said was innocent, the people knew that if they would just keep the pressure on, that they would eventually get what they want. Friends, you make one compromise with the crowd, they're going to know that one compromise leads to another. They knew that if they just keep pressuring him, they'll eventually get what they want. And so someone, I can imagine, as Pilate shows Jesus to the people, I can imagine someone in the crowd saying, "Pilate, you condemned, you scourged an innocent man. You said you found no fault in him. And yet you scourged him. We're going to report you to Herod. We're going to report you to Caesar." And friends, I can imagine, now Pilate's mistakes are being compounded. As this threat is given of being reported to Caesar, of practicing injustice, now Pilate begins to cover sin with more sin. I want you to notice the Bible tells us in Isaiah 30 verse 1, "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me, and who devise plans, but not of my spirit, that they may add," what? Sin to sin. Now Pilate's mistakes are being compounded. Now he must cover up sin with more sin. In Proverbs 5, verse 22, the Bible says, "His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his own sin." Now Pilate is making mistake after mistake. He begins to be tangled in the cords of his sin to the point that he can't get out. If he is reported to Caesar of the injustice of condemning an innocent man, surely he's going to lose his position. If this is known, he's going to lose his job. And so now Pilate is on the path where there's no turning back. And now in his heart, he makes a decision that no matter what the cause, he must save his job. And many people are making the same mistake today. Number 7, Pilate was valuing the temporal above the eternal. He cared more about his position, his employment, his job, his money, his relationships, more than doing the right thing, more than eternity. Oh, friends, what a foolish choice. What a coward. In order to maintain a superficial peace in his territory, he was willing to sacrifice the Prince of Peace. And friends, many people are doing the exact same thing when they hear the truth of God's word. In order to maintain peace in the family, in the home, on the job, they are sacrificing Jesus. They're putting aside the truth of God's word, and this causes Jesus so much pain, brothers and sisters. And if you do this, you will never find peace. If you put off a decision, you will never be at peace, friends. You will not only miss out on this life, but you'll miss out on the life to come. And friends, at this moment, Pilate was given even another chance. Oh, friends, God is merciful. Can you say amen? Even though he had scourged Jesus, caused him so much pain, God gave him another chance as he was hesitating on what he should do with Jesus. A messenger pressed through the crowd and thrust a letter in the hand of Pilate. It was a message from his heathen wife. And the message read, "Dear Pilate, have nothing to do with this just man. I have suffered many things in a dream because of him." Here it seems that God was now dealing with his wife. Pilate, I can imagine, took this as a warning message from God. Now his wife is confirming the convictions of his heart. Jesus is a just man. He's an innocent man. And now Pilate's face begins to grow pale. Sweat begins to pour. And now he begins to tremble. He is confused by his conflicting emotions. The conviction of the Spirit of God is becoming even more piercing. The pressure of the Pharisees more demanding. And the decision is now being more and more difficult to make. Friends, when you don't make the decision when it first comes, you put it off, it's going to be harder. It's not going to be a more convenient time. It's just going to get harder and harder and harder. Oh, friends, God is trying to save someone tonight. How is he now going to get out of this terrible situation? Another idea now comes and flashes into his mind. And Pilate remembers another way for him to get out of the situation. He remembers that this was the time where it was customary to release one prisoner to the people. And so Pilate, thinking that this was his way of escape to get out of this terrible situation of doing the right thing and suffering the ill will of the people, or doing the wrong thing to please the people, he remembers and he calls for the most dangerous, desperate prisoner deep in the dungeons of the Roman Empire. Barabbas was called. And friends, you have to understand, Barabbas was the one prisoner that was most feared by all the people in the land. He was a robber. He was a murderer. He terrorized all the people of that region, and he was sitting on death row for his crimes and his terror. And now Pilate calls for Barabbas to be brought forth out of the dungeon. And now Pilate positions Barabbas right beside Jesus. The contrast was so dramatic and distinct. You see, what Pilate was trying to do, he was trying to show the contrast between the innocent Jesus and the guilty murderer called Barabbas. And friends, I can imagine as the people looked, here's the meek, innocent Lamb of God permeating purity. And then right next to him, the hardened villain bent on rebellion and cruelty. And brothers and sisters, now Pilate gives the option to the people. Whom will you that I release unto you, Jesus or Barabbas? Here the people have a choice whether they're going to accept Barabbas or Christ. And by the way, friends, here is a picture of the options of the last generation. You know why? Because you know what the word Barabbas means? The word Barabbas. Barabbas. It literally means son of the Father. That's what his name means. So here we find son of the Father on one side, and then the true son of the Father on the other side. The true Christ and a false Christ. Who will the people choose? Friends, that's the choice of this last generation. Antichrist or Jesus Christ? The beast or the lamb? But here we find the crowd, just like in the last days back then, they make the wrong choice. I mean, it seems it should be an easy choice, right? I mean, of course, Jesus, the innocent one, I mean, he hasn't murdered anyone. Barabbas, it was a guilty murderer. And friends, unfortunately, just like back then, in these last days, most people are going to choose the counterfeit Antichrist system rather than the genuine Jesus Christ. Pilate felt in his heart, though, surely they're going to choose Jesus above this murderer. I mean, he was seeking to arouse within them a sense of justice. Don't let a guilty man go free and don't condemn an innocent man. Pilate was trying to arouse a sense of justice in the hearts of the people. But friends, they had already forsaken justice a long time ago, but justice would not forsake them. Here's the eighth miserable mistake of Pilate. What does he do? He allows others to make the choice. He allowed others to make the decision that he was supposed to make. He was the governor. He had the power to set him free. But now he's saying, whom will you that I release? He's passing off his decision. Oh, friends, this was a huge gamble. He was letting others decide his destiny, in other words. And he was confident in the question, whom will you that I release unto you? He was confident that they would surely choose Jesus. But like the bellowing of wild beasts, the mob cried in response, give us Barabbas. Louder and louder swelled the cry, give us Barabbas. And friends, I can imagine Pilate overwhelmed with astonishment. He could not believe his ears. He asked the second and the third time to make sure that his ears was not deceiving him. Who do you want me to release? And the cry went out again, give us Barabbas, Barabbas. They did not want Jesus. And then he asked a question to the crowd that must be answered by each one of us tonight. He then said, what shall I do then with Jesus? Notice, he's asking them to make the decision of what he should do. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Christ? And brothers and sisters, when you look at this story, we are the ones that are sitting in Pilate's judgment seat tonight. Today, we have to make a decision. What are we going to do with Jesus? You see, friends, throughout these past 4 weeks, Jesus has been brought to us in the form of the truth because Jesus said, I am the truth. And every time we read the Bible, every time we hear a sermon, every time we learn something new, the question comes to us from the Holy Spirit, what shall I do with Jesus and his truth? And friends, there's only two options. Either you're going to crown him or you're going to crucify him. Either you're going to accept the truth or you're going to reject it. No middle ground, folks. Here is the question that we must answer for ourselves. No one can answer it for us. We must decide either for Christ or against Christ. Friends, don't be a coward and don't let others dictate your decisions. You must make the decision for yourself. And friends, when Pilate said, what shall I do then with Jesus? Friends, what was the decision of the crowd? They then cried, let him be crucified. And I can imagine Pilate could not believe his ears, like the surging multitude roared like demons, crucify him, crucify him. There were demons in the crowd in the form of men, hyping up the crowd into a satanic frenzy, crucify him. We will not have this man to be ruler over us. Get rid of him. Give us Barabbas. And that's the cry of the crowd in these last days as well. People don't really want the truth, friends. Most people in the Christian world, friends, because these were religious people. You see, in the scribes and Pharisees, we see a picture not of the world that is following the devil, but we see those who claim to be the people of God. And friends, most people in the Christian world would rather believe a beautiful lie that makes them feel good than a difficult truth that calls for self-sacrifice and self-denial. People in the Christian world want to hear smooth things. Things that tickle their ears, that makes them feel good about themselves. This prosperity gospel that is growing churches into mega and giga churches, people are compromising the word of God and watering down the clear message of Jesus. And friends, in doing so, what we're really doing is crucifying the Lord afresh. And friends, I want you to notice, Pilate is now troubled. Never he thought it would ever come to this. To subject an innocent man to the most cruel death, crucifixion. And friends, in desperation now, he begins to plead with the crowd. Notice what it says now in verse 20. Pilate begins to plead with the crowd now. Verse 20, he says, Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spoke again to them. You see, he really wanted to do the right thing. He wanted to release Jesus. He wanted to let him go free. But now he's beginning to negotiate with the crowd. But verse 21, but they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And then he said unto them the third time, why? What evil has he done? I have found no cause of death in him. Therefore, I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were the more instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. What a terrible mistake. Pilate tries again and again, but that he could not quench their thirst for blood. The case had gone too far for argument. They did not want an argument. They didn't want a reason to let him go. They wanted his blood. And so now Pilate again scourges Jesus. And in verse 28 and 30 of Matthew 27, it says they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his hand. Now they're mocking him, the King of the Jews. They put a crown of thorn on his brow. And friends, those thorns came because of sin. That came from the curse. Here we find Jesus taking our curse so that we could have his blessing. He is crowned not with a crown of gold, but a crown of thorns. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spat on him and took a reed and struck him on the head. Oh, friends, can you imagine? Have you ever had someone come and spit in your face? This is what man did to their creator. Spitting in the face of Jesus, they mocked him and they humiliated him. And then in John 19, verse 3, it says, And then they said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they struck him with their hands. Here we find guilty hands hitting the face of the Holy One. And yet he did not retaliate, friends. And he did not give up. He did not tap out. He did not respond with anger. Instead of vengeance, the blood of his love flowed out. Jesus subjected himself to a most cruel and cruel torture and humiliation. And now Pilate brings him out one last time. Now he's trying to excite not so much justice, but the pity and the mercy from the hearts of the Pharisees. And then notice what he says. Let's go now to the book of John chapter 19 as we bring out a few more points. John chapter 19 verse 6, notice what happens. Going back to John. Pilate brings Jesus out. Now he's trying to excite the pity and mercy of the crowd. You see, they had forsaken justice, but will they forsake mercy now? Look upon the man. Pilate brings Jesus, and notice what happens. Verse chapter 19 and verse 4. The Bible says, Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. He's repeating it over and over. He has no fault. Then verse 5, then Jesus came forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. In other words, he's saying, look at him. Look at him. Hasn't he suffered enough? Look at the blood. Look at the pain. Behold the man. He's trying to excite sympathy and mercy from their hardened hearts. Friends, not only did the Jews forsake mercy, or not only did they forsake justice, they also forsook mercy. And then notice verse 5, verse 6. And when the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, Take ye and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Here we find, brothers and sisters, the Jews had forsaken justice and mercy, and Pilate is absolutely convinced that he is an innocent man, but now he just yields to the crowd and he gives in to what they want. Take him and crucify him. Then notice verse 7. Then the Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the what? the Son of God. And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. You see, now right here in this passage, Pilate, for the first time, hears the real accusation of the Jews. This is the first time he heard it. Their accusation is that he, this man, is making himself the Son of God. And so now Pilate begins to tremble. He's paralyzed with terror. You see, his convictions are confirmed. He thought that perhaps this one was truly the Messiah, the one that the prophets had spoken about that he heard of. And so now Pilate rushes back to Jesus and he begins to seek the truth from Jesus with all his heart. Notice what it says in verse 9. When he heard the real accusation, verse 9, it says, and went again into the judgment hall and said to Jesus, whence art thou? Friends, notice the question. What did Pilate ask? Where do you come from? Now, friends, did Pilate already knew where Jesus came from on the earth? He knew that he was from Galilee, right? And so when Pilate said, where do you come from? What he was really asking is, what planet are you from? Because you see, friends, there was a belief amongst the Romans that sometimes the gods, the Roman gods, would come to the world in human flesh to make sure that justice was being administered to. And so Pilate begins to fear that perhaps this is truly who the Jews say he claimed to be. This is truly the Son of God in the flesh. And now he begins to seek for truth. Where do you come from? But then notice, but Jesus gave him no answer. He had his opportunity, but he wasted it. And then in verse 10, then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and power to release thee? Verse 11, Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivers me unto thee has the greater sin. And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew Gabbatha. Verse 14, and it was the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. And they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. Oh, friends, Pilate sought for truth. But here's his ninth mistake, friends. He sought for truth when it was too late. Now he wants to know where Jesus is from. Who are you? But he sought for truth when it was too late. The golden opportunity had passed. Jesus had no further light for him. He went too far. It was too late. And now he makes his final attempt to release him. Pilate now is a slave to the will of the people. He is a puppet in their hands. Oh, what a coward. His own indecision and cowardice caused his own ruin. And now he is guilty of crucifying the Son of God. And then Matthew 27 verse 24 shows the last mistake Pilate made after he condemned Jesus to death. It says in Matthew 27 verse 24, when Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. Here we find Pilate's 10th mistake. He tries to wash himself of the guilt that is heavy upon his conscience. Pilate's 10th mistake was he thought he could remove his own guilt by the works of his own hands, by some type of performance, some little penance, some act. That he could remove the guilt. But friends, the only thing that can remove our guilt is the blood of Jesus. But Pilate tries to remove his own guilt by the water of his own works, some act of penance, a performance of duty. But friends, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Pilate makes the last mistake thinking that he could justify himself by some good works. And here we find 10 miserable mistakes, friends. Number one, he was disinterested in knowing truth. Number two, he ignored the conviction of the Spirit. Number three, he was distracted away from the truth. Four, he put off making a decision. He tried to remain neutral about it. He compromised with the crowd. He valued the temporal above the eternal. He allowed others to make it his decision. He sought for truth when it was too late, and he thought he could remove his own guilt. Oh, friends, have you made these mistakes? Are you making these mistakes tonight? As Jesus is led away to be crucified, Barabbas, the murderer, goes free. And by the way, friends, I want you to think for a moment. If anyone at that moment could understand salvation, surely it would be Barabbas. Because as Jesus is taken away to be crucified, Barabbas goes free. You see, more than anyone else, Barabbas understood the simple gospel truth, I should have died. But that man took my place. I should have been crucified. But this man is dying in my place, the innocent dying in place of the guilty, because friends, we're all Barabbas tonight. We're not just Pilate, we're also Barabbas. We're guilty. The guilty sons and daughters of the Father. But Jesus, the true Son of the Father, died so that we could go free. And now what do they do with Jesus? Instead of crowning him, they crucify him. Instead of placing him on a throne, they nailed him to a cross. And there he is, brothers and sisters, the beloved of heaven, the blessed Christ, hanging naked on a cross, suspended in midair, rejected of heaven and rejected of earth. Rejected of heaven because of the sins he took upon himself, our sins. Rejected by earth because of the purity of his life. Hanging there all by himself, all alone, the Father had to withdraw his presence from the Son. The angels veiled their faces from the awful sight, and even the Son refused to look upon the sea, and there was darkness over all the land. Here we find the Creator being crucified by his own children. Creator, allowing his creation to nail him to a cross. And when this day was finished, Pilate was relieved. The day is over. At first he was relieved and he tried his best to forget about Jesus. But you can be sure the Holy Spirit would not let him forget. And after the death of Christ, Pilate, a few days later, began to hear rumors that troubled him. Rumors that Jesus was not really dead. Rumors that he actually rose from the grave. And he tried to banish these horrifying thoughts, but his mind could not shake off the conviction. Finally, he could bear it no longer, and he called that centurion that was in charge over the soldiers that were guarding the tomb of Jesus, and he called the centurion, "Centurion, tell me the truth. What happened? I've been hearing these rumors, and I know that no way it could be true, but I need you to tell me what exactly took place. Is it true? Tell me, it's just a rumor, right?" And I can imagine that centurion, he begins to stammer. He begins to grow pale. He drops his head, and Pilate begins to realize that there's more to the story than he knew, and Pilate demands to hear the whole truth. And now the centurion begins to tell what happened at the tomb on the third day. Yes, we were there, guarding the tomb, and Pilate, that tomb was sealed tight. We were there. But then suddenly, a bright light shone around us. Brighter than the noonday sun, and we saw Pilate, this beautiful shining creature, roll back the stone and sit upon it. And then this angel, this angelic being, he called into the tomb and he said, "Son of God, come forth, your Father calls you." And friends, Pilate, as he hears this, terror strikes his heart. And then the centurion says, "And we saw Jesus. We saw him come out of the grave. He walked right out of the tomb, and he was alive, Pilate. We were terrified. We couldn't move. We fell down as dead men. And upon regaining our consciousness, we went to report it. And on our way to report it, the priest met us. And they offered us money, bribing us to say that the disciples had stolen his body. But we saw him. We saw him rise. He's alive today." And then Pilate suddenly realized for certain that he had betrayed and crucified the Son of God. He was seized with uncontrollable trembling from head to foot. And shortly after this, he was called back to Rome to answer for some of the charges brought against him by the Jews. And on his way back to Rome, the Caesar that loved him so much, that he was so loyal to, that Caesar died. And now a new emperor took his place. A new king is sitting upon the throne. And this king did not recognize Pilate. And as a result of his injustice and his compromising spirit, Pilate was displaced from his position as governor by Caesar himself, and now we find Pilate wandering around the Roman streets as a drunken wretch until finally, a few days, few weeks after that, he took his own life in suicide. He was a slave that was made free, but he died as a slave to sin, a slave to worldly ambition, a slave to what other people thought. You see, friends, Pilate thought that he could save something by giving in to the crowd. He thought that he could maintain a superficial peace. But friends, in giving in compromising, in procrastinating, he ended up losing everything. And friends, listen. This story is given in the Bible as a solemn warning for us tonight. A solemn warning not to lightly regard the choices that we make day by day. A merciful invitation to choose to crown Christ as our King today. You see, friends, by our choices, we have the power, just like Pilate, either to crown Jesus or to crucify Jesus. And so as we close tonight, what will you do with Jesus, friends? We've been here 4 weeks. We've preached night after night after night. I've poured out my heart and soul into these meetings. The Holy Spirit has been here, and He has blessed the study of His Word. He has led us into an understanding of truth. Now the question tonight, friends, as we begin to close this meeting, what are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with the truth? It's not enough to understand it. God calls us to walk in it. You see, friends, tonight, we are on the judgment. We are sitting on the judgment seat of Pilate, and Jesus is standing before us. The question is, what are you going to do with Christ? Are you going to crown Him Lord of your life? Are you going to say, yes, Lord, I surrender all, big and small, whatever it is, I give it to you? Or are you going to continue to live your life how you want to live it? Or are you going to continue to hold on to your darling, precious sins, your traditions? Friends, if you do, you're crucifying Christ. You're adding to the weight of sin that crushed His soul. Don't do it tonight. But one day, we are sitting on the judgment seat. Christ is standing before us. What are you going to do with Him? But friends, one day, the picture is going to be reversed. One day, Jesus will sit upon the judgment seat, and we're going to be standing before Him. And what we do with Christ tonight will determine what Christ will do with us then. Tonight, choose you this day whom you will serve. No middle ground. Stop halting between two opinions. Today, it's time to go all the way. Jackie's going to sing a song. And then after the song is finished, I'm going to make an appeal for those who have not yet decided to go all the way with Jesus in baptism or rebaptism. If you are one of those who are still in the valley, not talking about the 40 that made the decision, there are individuals that are in this room tonight that I know that must choose tonight. So I invite you to bow your heads, close your eyes. And as you listen to the words of this song, let the Lord fill you with courage to stand for Christ tonight. Listen.
I was guilty with nothing to say, but they were coming to take. Crucified. disgrace, but Jesus, God's Son, took my place. Crown of thorns, spear in His side, and those pains, they should.
Forgive us for not living, though. Forgive us for not living for You. You died so that we could live. Tonight, help us to truly live. Lord, I know there are individuals tonight that are in the middle. I pray for them right now, Lord Jesus, send angels to give them the strength to stand and say yes, because You took my place. I want to live for You. Be with those people, Lord, that are in the valley of decision right now, Lord, as we make this last appeal. Help them, Lord, to stand. And as their heads are bowed and as their eyes are closed, if you have not yet made your decision, perhaps you've been coming to this church for years, but you've not made a decision for baptism. Something has held you back. Maybe you've just been coming to these meetings, you've been hearing these truths, and something is holding you back. And tonight you recognize that our indecision, like Pilate, is what brings pain and crucifixion. And tonight you want to say, Lord, because You died for me, I want to live for You, and I want to seal it with a baptism. Or rebaptism. I'm not talking to those who have already come on previous nights. I'm going to ask you to come in just a moment. But right now, for those who have not yet made the decision, I invite you to stand and come right now. You know who you are. God has been dealing with you. Would you come? Get out of the valley, friends. Come on the mountaintop and live. Come now. Why do you make Jesus wait? He's calling you. Don't make Him wait. Don't make Him beg. He's already died. What more does He have to do to convince you that He loves you? What more does He have to do to convince you that He has a better life and plan for you? Would you come now? Who will be the first? You're not ashamed. It doesn't matter what others think. those who have not yet made the decision, come. Come and live. I know that there are individuals God is calling. I'm not going to stop until you come. Come. While the door is still open. Come. Don't put it off. Don't hesitate. Don't compromise. You may have problems and issues. You come to Jesus with those issues. Jesus will take care of it. Don't think about the consequences and the repercussions. It doesn't matter. God promises to take care of you. He promises to work out all the details. But what he will not do is choose. That's your power tonight. Exercise your power to choose right now, brothers and sisters. Don't let the devil keep you in your seats. Those whom God is calling right now. Oh, friends, it's a life and death message. Why do you waver? Why do you hesitate? Would you come? God bless you. Who else will come? Come. I know you want to. I know you want to. Just take a step. You'll feel the burden drop from your shoulders. And you'll feel the loving arms of Jesus around you. Come. Please. Please come. Please come. Stop breaking the heart of God. Stop telling Jesus tomorrow. Today is your day. God bless you. Praise God. Who else will come? Prayers are being answered. Should have been crucified, but he took your place, friend. What more does God have to do? This is nothing emotional. It's because Jesus loves you and died for you. He's calling you to walk in truth. Who else? Come on. I know you're there. I know you want to come. I know you're struggling. Jesus, let Jesus pick you up tonight. Let him bring you down the aisle. Come, young man, young lady, come. Don't put it off. God bless you. God bless you. Prayers are being answered. Continue to pray, church. The chains are being broken. These people are coming. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, friends. Don't look around, look within. Is God calling you? Look within, search your heart. Say, Lord, are you calling me? If so, give me the courage. If you can't kneel, just kneel in your heart, but just come, friends. There's something about walking down the aisle, just like a wife coming to give her heart to her new husband. These have come, giving their heart to their heavenly husband, Jesus. Would you come? Give him your heart. What earthly treasure is worth holding on to, losing out on heaven for? What earthly relationship is better than eternity with Christ? Whatever it is that is holding you back, think about it. What is that in light of eternity, friends? It's nothing. It's all going to burn up one day. It's all going to fade away and pass away. The only thing that matters is, do you know Jesus? And tonight, would you come and say, yes, Lord, I need a new beginning. Need a new beginning. I don't have the strength, but I come receiving your strength. There's somebody else. There's someone else. Now I want to invite those who have made their decision already to come and join these on their knees. reaffirm your commitment, your decision for Christ. Friends, it's easy to come when the crowd comes. So if you've not made your decision, you come while everyone is coming right now. Come. Kneel down before this spiritual altar and say, "Yes, Lord, I'm yours tonight." Come while the crowd comes. Come. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now I want to invite those. Perhaps you're not ready for baptism. You don't want to think about baptism right now. But you have not yet surrendered your whole heart to Christ. You've surrendered part of it. But there's still an area in your life that you control and not God. You don't want to think about baptism right now. Maybe that's something to consider down the road. But tonight you want to surrender that part that you're in control of in your life. You want to say, "Lord, take this too. Take my all. I surrender 100% tonight." I'm not talking about everyone. I believe that there are many of us who have already made this decision. But there's someone here tonight that have not yet surrendered everything. Would you come too? And would you come now? Come. Come and live. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? I know that there's more people. Know that we don't like to be pressured. No pressure, friends. God pleads. He doesn't pressure. He begs for your own soul. There's someone else before I pray that would like to respond to this invitation. God respects your freedom to choose. So I'm going to pray that He will give you courage to choose Him soon before the door is shut. I'm going to pray for you. As we close tonight, how many of you want to recommit your heart to Christ? Say, "Lord, forgive me for being like Pilate. Help me to be like Jesus." God bless you. God bless you. If you want to recommit your life to Christ, as far as you are able to, I invite you to go to your knees as we close with prayer tonight. Father in heaven, Lord, I've done what you've asked me to do. I've shared your word. I've given your invitation. Now it's up to your people to decide. Lord, we rejoice tonight for these who have decided, for these who have made up their minds that they're not going to let anything or anyone hold them back. Lord, they have made the right decision. And now bless them because of this decision. Honor them and protect them because of this decision. Push away every evil angel that would try to distract them. Write their name in the book of life. Give them the peace that comes from full surrender. Lord, I pray that if they are still struggling with bad habits, break the chains tonight, dear God. Make them free. Wherever there is doubt, give them faith. Where there is fear, give them assurance. Where there is anxiety, give them peace. And I pray that you'll fill them with the power of your Spirit from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. May they never turn back, Lord. Keep them in your hands. And when they fall, pick them up. And help them to move forward, not backwards. Bless them. Bless these children of yours. Thank you, God, for giving them courage tonight. Lord, for the rest of us on our knees, we want to recommit our lives to you. And Lord, take our hearts. Forgive us for vacillating and compromising like Pilate. Forgive us, Lord, for putting off and ignoring the conviction. Forgive us, Lord, we've made all of these mistakes time and time again. And we thank you, Lord, that you've not given up on us. We thank you, Lord, that mercy still reaches out towards us tonight. Tonight we pray, have mercy upon us, O God. Create in us a clean heart. Renew within us a right spirit. Do not cast us away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from us, but restore unto us the joy of your salvation and uphold us with your generous Spirit. And Lord, I want to pray for those who should have come, but for whatever reason they didn't come. Oh, my heart breaks for them, and I know that your heart breaks. Please, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Give them another chance, Lord. I pray that they would only have peace when they come to the point of a full surrender. Until then, trouble them with the conviction of your Spirit, and may they only have rest when they come fully to you. Whatever holds them back, help them to let it go. Thank you so much for what you've done tonight. Dismiss us now, not from your presence, but with your presence. In the name of Jesus we pray. Let all of God's people say, amen.